Good morning. Good morning. Meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. The time is 10:05 on Thursday, March 27th, 2025. Present with us today are Speaker Edgemond, Representative Himshute, Representative Elam, Representative McCabe, and myself, Chair Stutes. We have a quorum to conduct business. I'm going to ask people to make sure your cell phones have been silenced, and please do not approach the table up here. If you need to pass a note, if you get a hold of my committee aide, Jane Pearson, she'd be delighted to help you out. I'd like to thank Andrew Magnuson, the House Fisheries Committee Secretary from the Juneau LIO, for teleconferencing support. We have Sarah Quigley. At today's meeting, we'll be considering two bills, House Bill 135, an act relating to the duties of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and relating to the seafood marketing assessment by the governor, and House Bill 129, an act relating to the fisheries product development tax credit, providing for an effective date and amending the effective date. Let's see, that bill is by the House Fisheries Committee by request of the Joint Legislative Task Force evaluating the Alaska seafood industry. If it is the will of the committee today, I would like to move House Bill 129 as well. Our first bill up today is House Bill 135 by the governor. We do have a CS before us. I would like to let the committee know that the changes from version A to version N were made by legislative legal to conform with the legislative drafting manual. The one change legislative legal made is to the title. Seafood marketing assessment was removed since assessments are not included in the body of the bill. However, the bill does redefine the meaning of seafood, so the new title of the CS is an act relating to the duties of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and relating to the definition of seafood. Otherwise, the bill remains the same. Vice Chair Edgemond, may I have a motion to bring the CS before the committee?
Can we have just a brief at ease, please?
Brief at ease.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the proposed committee substitute for House Bill 135, work draft 34/GH1072/N as a working document.
Being no objection, House Bill 135, version 34/GH1072/N is before the committee as its working draft. Here to present the bill today is DCCED Deputy Commissioner Anna Latham and Jeremy Woodrow, Executive Director of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Ms. Latham and Mr. Woodrow, if you would please come to the table and put yourself on record and begin your presentation, please.
Good morning, Chairman Stutes and members of the House Fisheries Committee. For the record, I'm Anna Latham, Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Commerce. I'm going to provide some opening remarks and then turn it over to Executive Director of ASME, Jeremy Woodrow, to go through the bill. I want to thank you for hearing House Bill 135, which would allow the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute to market aquatic farm products. Alaska has many strengths that make it an ideal environment to grow our mariculture industry. The state has a long maritime history and a workforce that's fully trained to work on the water. Alaska already produces more than 50% of the seafood in the United States, and it's a natural progression for Alaskans to expand mariculture as a renewable resource that Alaska can add to its economic portfolio. Over the last decade, the state of Alaska has shown its commitment to developing the mariculture industry in Alaska. Part of this is through the Division of Investments through its Mariculture Revolving Loan Fund, and there are a lot of other resources that have been put into this industry. So with the state's natural abundant resources and support from the federal and state organizations, there's a tremendous opportunity to further grow mariculture through the state's seafood marketing agency, ASME. This emergent industry creates year-round jobs, supports coastal communities that have experienced a decline in harvest volumes and revenue, and diversifies our economy. And ASME has done a phenomenal job of developing an international brand for Alaska seafood. Expanding ASME's scope to include the marketing of shellfish could incentivize growth in this emergent sector. And House Bill 135 is also peripheral to the administration's food security initiatives. If marketing efforts grow, they allow for increased production of shellfish, and there's more fresh food available locally in the state as well. So with that, thank you very much for hearing this bill, and I'll turn it over to ASME's Executive Director, Jeremy Woodrow.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner. For the record, my name is Jeremy Woodrow. I'm Executive Director for the Alaska Seafood Market Institute. Good morning, Chair Stutes. Good morning, members of the committee. I will go through the bill. It's a fairly simple bill, HB 135. It gives the ASME board the powers to market mariculture products to produce in the state of Alaska, and it also changes the definition of seafood under ASME statutes to include mariculture products in that definition. Chairwoman, would you like me to do a sectional analysis of the bill?
It's a small bill. You might as well.
Okay. Since it is a small bill. So, to the chair, Section 1, this is a technical change to AS 1651-100, be Bullet 3, to include harvest. This is more of a technicality. When we talk about ASME's powers right now to mariculture products, or wild capture products, this part of statute specifically speaks to the capture of a species, and you don't necessarily capture a species that's grown in a controlled space. And so this is where they say or harvest. That would change this part of the ASME statute. Section 2 amends AS 1651-180, which is the definition of seafood. And this is the definition of seafood to ASME. There are different spaces within statutes that define seafood, but for the definition currently as written for ASME for seafood, it only includes our wild capture seafood products. And so this includes aquatic farm products, and it points actually to a section of statute under AS 1641-99, and that goes under Fish and Game's definition of aquatic farm products. And I think that's really important that we point this out. And the definition of aquatic farm products as currently written only includes shellfish and seaweed in aquatic farm products. It does not include fin fish products. And so when we talk about this bill that's in force today, it does not include fin fish of any type. I know that's been controversial in the news, and there is a separate bill that would address that. But for this bill, this is talking about aquatic farm products, which are shellfish or seaweed products that would be added to the definition of seafood, for ASME. And so that's under Section 2 of the bill.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Representative Himshut.
Thank you. I'm just shooting from the hip a little bit here, but where would cephalopods be? Are they, they're not fin fish.
Cephalopods would be like a squid?
Correct.
to the chair, yes.
Cuttlefish, yeah. Squid, octopus.
To the chair, Representative Himshut, when I read the statutes, I don't see that in here as a product that would be allowed to be grown. But that we might need to phone a friend through the Fish and Game if that would be an allowable one under shellfish. It's a good question. If it was a wild capture, though, ASME would have the powers to market wild capture such as. So if there were a commercial squid fishery, ASME would have the powers to market that type
and
of
if,
product.
Apologies.
Follow up.
Thank you. Through the chair, if somebody wanted to farm. I'm going through in my mind, does anybody farm, not necessarily squid, but cuttlefish or octopus or something like that, if that were a thing, and I'm not sure it is, but if it were a thing, would that be allowed?
To the chair, Representative Himshut, I'm actually not aware of that. We can look into that and get back to you. That's a good question.
I actually had contact about that earlier this year, and I thought, oh, it's not a thing in Alaska, but now it seems like I need to make sure. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative McCabe, and Before you start, Representative McCabe, let me mention that we have Sandra Moeller from the Division of Community and Regional Affairs, DCCED, on the line as well for questions, if need be.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I am curious if the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, say under, if all the stars aligned and everybody was cooperating and we did get a farmed fish bill, finfish, would ASME support that? Would you market them, or would farmed fish kind of be on their own?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, as I understand it, with HB 111, working its own angle versus HB 135, right now ASME would not have the powers to market those farmed fin fish products. So that would have to be legislatively changed in both bills.
Thanks.
Thank you. Other questions? Seeing none, it appears that we do not have any invited testimony, so I will move forward with public testimony.
May I have one more comment?
Absolutely, Mr. Whitmer.
Thank you, Chair Stutz. One other thing I would like to add is that the ASME Board is supportive of legislative change. At the ASME Board meeting on February 21st, the Board unanimously approved a motion to support any type of action to change ASME statutes to allow for the marketing of mariculture products. I'd just like to put that on record.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And now we will open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Please come forward, state your name and affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Robert Venables. I'm the Executive Director for Southeast Conference, the regional economic development organization for Southeast Alaska, although we work extensively throughout the southern coastal districts with our partners. I just want to briefly thank you and the committee for considering this bill. ASME is the gold standard for marketing. Their guidance and expertise is going to serve the mariculture sector very well. We are managing, as most of you know, the Alaska Mariculture Cluster Initiative, which is a $49 million effort to stand up a mariculture industry in the state. And the guidance and support that ASME can give us is very timely and appreciated. So I will take out any more of your time, but just wanted to speak in support of this bill. And if I may, so to not take up any more time in consideration of the next bill, I've also submitted a letter of support for 129, which we also support as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Venables? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Is there any others in the room that would like to testify? Seeing none, we will go online to Katie Bode. Katie, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Katie Bode from Prince Willows Island. I'm an oyster farmer with Tomaso Shellfish. I am testifying in opposition of House Bill 135. I became an oyster farmer in 2017 when I joined my partner James Greeley at his family's farm in Theater Sound. In addition to learning how to handle gear, grow oysters, and market our product, I learned to be an entrepreneur and cooperate a business while troubleshooting challenges, expenses, and logistics that arise when operating and living in a rural area.
Katie, if you could just, you could just slow down just a tad so we could understand you. Okay, thank you.
We are creating a sustainable business that can contribute to the economic diversification of our region. We primarily provide oysters locally across Southeast Alaska, and we are also members of the Alaska Oyster Cooperative and the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association. The seafood marketing assessment would be an additional cost to our farm. The amount is unknown, but treating farming as a fishery opens the door for additional taxes, assessments, and regulations. We already comply with multiple regulatory agencies such as the DEC, ADF&G, and DNR, and follow strict food safety and quality protocols through existing agencies. New inspection requirements would strain small entrepreneurial businesses like me. As a developing industry base in a rural area, additional costs could prevent us from reaching a profitable scale. Our shellfish have a unique characteristic based on the specific growing location and built a quality reputation and direct relationships with our customer. Every farm offers a different product, and ASME's commodity marketing approach doesn't align with shellfish production. We believe shellfish farming is an agricultural practice, not a fishery. Please oppose 135. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Katie? Representative Himshut.
Thank you, through the chair. Katie, it's great to hear your voice. My question is, how do you market your product now? If so, are you not marketed through ASME? So how do
We're
you
not.
Yeah, how do you get the word out on your yep. product?
We have done everything on our own through direct marketing and building relationships with our customers. As a small business, we utilize just on our own, like learning how to basically self-brand and self have our own identity through using platforms like social media. All those like capabilities we can do this on our own, or we have been doing it on our own. And it's been successful for us, and I feel for other farms as well.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Sorry, thank you.
Go ahead.
Through the chair, Katie. So at small scale, it's working for you right now. Is there a point at which oyster farming in Alaska would reach a scale where you would benefit from ASME, where you would need to reach a larger market? And I understand constraints like not having a Southeast-based lab for the testing and that kind of thing. But can you envision a time when oyster farming would become large enough that you would... Will it always be small scale, I guess, is my question.
I don't believe so. I feel oyster fish farming is more of an agricultural practice and not a fishery. And I feel those, like, having those existing, it's with working with a farm and having those expenses and having another expense would maybe hamper growth.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, Katie. Next, we have James Greeley. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is James Greeley. I live on Prince Charles Island, and I'm calling on behalf of the Alaska Oyster Cooperative, a cooperative built of five small family-owned farms who have been operating for the longest, 20 years, and at the shortest, about 2 years. I'm calling on behalf to oppose House Bill 135 and combining agriculture products with widely caught seafood products. It's just, they don't need to be combined. And basically, like, I just calling to oppose. All of our members are opposed to it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Greeley.
Katie said, so any questions, feel free to ask.
And do we have any questions for Mr. Greeley? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Greeley. Next, we have Jason Lizard. Mr. Lizard, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jason Lizard. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Mariculture Alliance. We're an industry group made up of shellfish and seaweed farmers and processors, hatchery operators, Alaska Native corporations, regional economic development authorities, researchers, and so on and so forth. We represent a diverse cross-section of this growing industry. And our mission is to develop and support a robust and sustainable mariculture industry for the long-term benefit of Alaska's economy, environment, and communities. I want to thank you all for taking this bill up, for hearing today. It's a topic that has been discussed for quite some time among our board and among our members. But there's a divide, largely on sector lines, shellfish versus seaweed and the aquatic plants, but it's not wholly divided along those lines. In large part, it's due to different circumstances where the industry's at. We have decades of shellfish farmers, primarily oyster farmers, establishing a really hardy, well-respected industry with fantastic product. And then on the other hand, we have seaweed, which is extremely nascent and needs help developing markets. And so we're seeing among our members sort of different perspectives based on those needs. Very recently, McKinley Research did an industry overview report for the Alaska Mariculture Cluster, taking a look at, you know, some history and projections moving forward. And while in 2024, oysters on a national level saw a decrease and a softening in the market, Alaska stood pretty strong, especially in-state. And again, seaweed just doesn't really have the markets yet. So there's a lot of work that needs to go into developing that. And we saw a decrease in outplanting among our farmers due to the lack of markets for them, of seaweed farmers. And so given all of this, and the topic being raised and best means of developing markets, you know, we engage with our members quite a bit. We invited Jeremy Woodrow from ASME to present on a webinar to our membership. There was a hearty and robust Q&A afterwards. Had discussions as a board, sought member input, and ultimately we put this question to the vote of our full membership at our annual meeting last month. 87% of our voting membership approved a measure to support ASME. Marketing mariculture products, with the caveat that each sector, shellfish and aquatic plants, would be able to make their own decision for participation. And this bill, as it is, falls within the scope of our approved measure, and AMA supports it currently. We do, however, acknowledge that the issue of assessment is not included in the bill at this time, and you know, it's certainly something that will need to be addressed. And so, you know, we stand strong that we support a vote by sector when the assessment measure does come into play, and we look forward to engaging with the legislature on crafting something that works well for both. You know, we acknowledge that while both shellfish and seaweed are products of ocean farming, they're very different, and they're in very different places right now. They're different even on the very basic level of plant versus animal. But the marketing is different. You know, you can look at maybe beef versus kale 10 years ago, where beef can somewhat an established market, and it somewhat markets itself. And kale was a foreign product to many, and it took extra lift to get that going. And we're seeing similarities in the divide amongst our sectors. And, you know, due to that, it does seem that this would require different marketing strategies were as need to market both or one or the other. The market plan and strategies for shellfish can be wildly different than those for seaweed in many ways. So the work itself would be different based on sector. So with all that said, I just want to reiterate that, again, we're supportive of this measure as it is currently written, and we welcome the opportunity to engage with the legislature to work on this topic of an industry assessment.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Weatherly Bates. Weatherly, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Yes, my name is Weatherly Bates. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, members of the committee. My name's Weatherly Bates. I'm from Homer in Halibut Cove, Alaska. My family and I operate Alaska Shellfish Farms, and I'm also president of the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association and on the board of Pacific Coast Shellfish Growers Association. My husband and I moved to Alaska in 2007 to pursue a career in aquatic farming. Alaska just seemed like the perfect place for us to settle down, and we see so many opportunities in the industry. I come from a fishing family and recognize that fishing and farming are very different practices. Today, I'm testifying in opposition to HB 135. After being in Alaska for almost two decades, we have generated and reinvested millions of dollars into our farm, which we originally acquired. It was a derelict farm that hadn't been producing. Today, we're one of the largest producers of oysters and seaweeds in Alaska. Our farm hosts an abundance of kelp and seaweeds. I feel that ASME would be very inappropriate for marketing of our farmed products for a number of reasons. I don't think public funds should be used to market private farm products. Each farm produces and grows unique products, making commodity marketing also undesirable. We don't have issues with marketing any of our shellfish, just problems growing enough. Over the last two decades, we've seen the markets for our oysters almost triple, and with today's tariffs in place, it's also helping us because many oysters are brought in from Mexico and Canada, and now we're getting even more of an edge. I think that we grow a product and plant it, and we shouldn't be subject to fisheries assessments. Our industry is agriculture and not fisheries. We use Alaska grown. We report to the USDA and have access using USADA, to name a few. Shellfish and seaweed have completely different problems or challenges marketing. We feel this move is kind of a move for the kelp industry to just have markets, but it might not even help using ASME. There are so many complex issues when it comes to kelp marketing. Any farmer knows they need to know what they are growing and who they are selling it to. And we as shellfish farmers feel that this could really burden us. And like the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute markets wild-caught fish for years, disparaging us as farmers. And like for people that are generating income in this industry to have to pay assessment into a marketing program that hasn't even supported us for over two decades is really like complicated, and we think that agriculture and fisheries should be distinctly characterized differently. We support the generation of a new Department of Agriculture, but definitely not having Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute market mariculture products. I appreciate your time and hope we can grow this industry together sustainably, and that we can all succeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bates. And just for the record, I will note that we do have your letter in our packet, and all committee members have received a copy of it. And thank you for the testimony. Do we have any questions for Ms. Bates? Seeing none, thank you again, Ms. Bates. Next, we will go C1 Gelbach. If you would state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Hello. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Juan Gelbach of Simpson Bay Oyster Company in Cordova. I serve on the board of the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association, but today I'm speaking on behalf of my own farm. I'm testifying in opposition to House Bill 135. I am an oyster farmer. I buy seed and I plant those seed into an area I have leased from the state of Alaska. I am not fishing for oysters. I am harvesting my crop, just as if I grew peonies or potatoes in the state of Alaska, which the state of Alaska is not currently promoting. Anyway, I'm eligible for services through the USDA. I'm a farmer, not a fisherman. I do not pursue a public commodity, public common resource, such as in the fishing industry, and I should not be assessed a marketing fee.
I think I fucking nailed it out of the park.
Wow. Okay. That was not me. if the state of Alaska wants to begin marketing farmed products, then they need to do more than just change this definition. There needs to be additional changes to ASME, such as the assessment mechanism, which is currently in place for ASME, which deals with processors. And most oyster farmers well, I don't know any oyster farmers in the state of Alaska that deal with processors. We all sell our products directly, and that's a whole different issue. But the assessment mechanism is just not in place for dealing with farmed products. I appreciate the legislature's and the state's ongoing support for Alaska's growing mariculture industry by consistently funding ADEC, the Shellfish Authority, and the lab testing for DNR and for ADF&G employees working with the mariculture industry. They're really doing great work for us, and we really appreciate that consistent funding. As I said, I'm here testifying in opposition to House Bill HB 135, and I really do hope that you speak to more oyster farmers in your districts about this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions for Siwan? Seeing none, thank you for taking your time to call in. We appreciate it. Next, we have Margot Reveal. Margot, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Margot Reveal from Homer, Alaska. With my husband and son, we operate Jackaloff Bay Oyster Company. I serve on the boards of both the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association and the Pacific Coast Shellfish Growers Association. ASGA has sent a letter that you have, but today I'm speaking on behalf of my farm. First, I appreciate greatly the legislature's ongoing support for Alaska's growing mariculture industry, particularly funding for our DEC Shellfish Authority and for lab testing. I'm testifying in opposition to House Bill HB 135. Over 12 years, we've invested over $1 million to transform a derelict site in Ketchmack Bay into a viable family farm. Our son will take over operations, making our farm not just an industry investment, but our family's future and Alaska's future. So this is pretty emotional for us, and we get very worried about these kinds of actions. Unlike wild fisheries that begin with public resources, our business begins with private seed purchased from private hatcheries. Our shellfish require year-round care, as others have said, for 3 to 5 years before generating revenue. While we navigate fees, leases, and regulations through FDA, ADC, ADF&G, DNR, and others. Meanwhile, our oysters quietly improve water quality and provide habitat for juvenile fish. We've developed our own gear that wave-action tumbles our oysters, creating a unique product that our customers seek out. Every oyster we grow is sold. Marketing is not our bottleneck. Has not been our bottleneck. If it were to become larger, I think like Hog Island and Taylor Shellfish and outside of Alaska, other farms do not have a government entity marketing for them. ASME standardization and commodity marketing approach doesn't fit shellfish farming, which is a differentiated market, and that's important. Redefining seafood in statute to include both public and private resources would have significant unintended consequences throughout statute. If you put it in just this one place, I think it would impact others as well. Farming was explicitly excluded from fisheries legislation and should remain so. Please oppose HB 135 and maintain the current exemption for aquatic farm products. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions? Yes, we have a question from Representative Elam.
Thank you. I appreciate the testimony along with some of the others. And so if I am understanding you correctly, your concern is that your private small business would be in direct competition with Alaska, the state of Alaska. Is that, I mean, that's kind of how it's sounding, what the concern is. Is that a correct understanding?
This is Margo Rive, responding representative through the chair. I might have you restate that, but I don't, it's not that we think this will be in competition with the state, it's that we don't want the state to represent our product as or market specifically our products. We appreciate things like Alaska Grown programs that more generically provide resources for Alaska growers, but I don't know. I don't. We really want our product to be represented by us. If we, as an industry, wanted to do some marketing like the Got Milk campaign or something like that, I think industry would come together around that. So far, that hasn't happened because we're a differentiated market, and each grower approach has their own approach to access their markets. Does that answer your question?
Representative Elam?
Yeah, that does better. That helps me. I was trying to kind of figure out a little bit more what the specific concern was. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Himshut?
I'm sorry, I can't resist, but Got Oysters is just not really resonating, but I think there are things we can do, so thank you.
Thank you. Do we have other questions? I see no others online to testify and no others in the room, so I will close public testimony. And do we have any discussion from this committee?
Yes,
Madam Representative Chair. Edgman.
Can we have Mr. Woodrow come back to the... I'll say witness stand, but it's not a witness stand.
Can I grill you?
Get him sworn back in. through the chair, if I might. ASME has had its challenges as of late. We talked a lot about it during the seafood task force process, and challenges interspersed, I think, with a lot of success stories. But one of those challenges has been trying to here in the budget process, in the capital, trying to make sure you get adequate state support year in and year out. And so my question to you is, right now in a very constrained budget environment, we're not sure what's going to get funded or not get funded as a result of lower oil revenue and challenges abounding in every state agency, it seems. But so this bill would purport to increase your workload but not come with additional money. And I want you to speak to that if you could, because I think it's a relevant question that shouldn't, basically go unanswered or unaddressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the record, Jeremy Woodrow, Executive Director for the Alaska Seafood Market Institute. And through the chair, Speaker Edgman, that's a great question, and thank you for bringing that up. The way ASME has approached this discussion internally around, if we were to increase, like you said, our workload by adding other products onto our portfolio without an additional assessment, what we've recognized is that there are a lot of grant opportunities that would allow ASME to pursue. Some of these grant opportunities would allow us to expand our efforts, not just for mariculture products, but also for our wild capture fisheries as well, too. Right now, some of those grants we can't pursue, though, because they are mariculture specific, right? So when we talk about what ASME does most is we market the brand Alaska. And anytime we have an opportunity to market the brand Alaska, we lift that rising tide, right? We are the rising tide. We lift all the boats together. And so when we can pursue those other marketing opportunities or those grant opportunities, that's going to help us lift that, be that rising tide for other opportunities for other industries.
Yeah, it's sort of on a separate track. And, we heard agriculture mentioned, and it's interesting all the different terms that are out there: food security, agriculture, seafood, fisheries, aquatic seafood products, on and on and so forth. But the legislature turned down the governor's executive order to create a Department of Agriculture, and I know that that's not in your wheelhouse, but the legislature in the House and the Senate now have separate bills that I think are going to be heard to revisit that issue and maybe, look at it a little more broadly in terms of agriculture as it relates to seafood, in the whole. I heard agriculture mentioned a couple of times during the testimony here. Any thoughts on that very broad question I'm posing?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative, that it is a very broad topic. I'll speak to it at a national level, and I think that will help maybe the conversation when we talk about agriculture and seafood products at the state level. At a national level, seafood, and I really want to speak to seafood because that's what ASME's job is, right? Our mission is to promote seafood products to consumers. But at a national level, seafood gets caught between two agencies. It's caught between the Department of Commerce under NOAA, where it's regulated as a fishery. But then there's this change of hands when it moves over to USDA, when it becomes a food product. And that's something that's not done here in the state of Alaska. And so I think that's some of the discussions we're having is when does seafood or fisheries become food? And that's when the USDA steps in and helps organizations like ASME. We can pursue different grants to market our seafood products to the world. Those are the grants that ASME currently pursues through USDA to market our fisheries products as food products. And so does the nation or does our federal government do that well? I would say no. One of our asks as a seafood industry, and this is a national seafood industry, is to establish a liaison office under the Department of USDA to help liaise that effort better between commerce and USDA. That hasn't been established yet, but that has definitely been an ask that the entire U.S. seafood industry has been able to coalesce around. And when you think of fractured industries, I would say that the seafood industry in the U.S. is probably one of the better fractured ones. So for them to come up on something that they actually agree upon is pretty impressive. And that's one of those areas of we need more help under USDA to support seafood.
Follow up?
Yeah, just a quick comment. I appreciate that response. The question was more than nuanced. I think your response was appropriately nuanced, and I appreciate the perspective. We'll be probably talking about this later on. Thank you,
Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through the chair, I'm interested to know. So we're sort of talking about seafood. Oysters are seafood. Kelp is seafood. Theoretically, we're going to talk about that next, I guess. But so, how would you envision? First, what are the grants for oysters? So if there is a U.S. grant that you could possibly pursue to market Alaska-grown oysters or some sort of, or even Alaska-grown kelp, which is a seafood as well, how would you do that? I mean, what would the marketing campaign look like? I'm aware what you do for fisheries, but would it be worldwide? Would it be just in the U.S.? Would it start slow? Would they sort of leap into the fray with the rest of the fish?
For the chair, Representative McCabe, two parts that I see is what are the grants and then how would we use the grants? So one funding opportunity that we already know is available, and Mr. Venables spoke to the committee here just briefly, and they received a sizable grant through the Build Back Better initiative. I think it was $49 million or around that range. And part of that was to provide opportunity to market Alaska's mariculture products. ASME could receive that money if we had the powers to, but since we don't have the power statutorily, we could not receive that money. So that's just one example of money that already is available that ASME could go after and help this growing industry market their products immediately. So those are monies already available.
Certainly.
Thanks. So my vision would be, or if it would have the ASMI stamp on it, say Alaska-grown oysters or Alaska-farmed oysters or Alaska-ranched oysters, whatever the oyster farmers want to call themselves. But, I mean, ASME would cooperate with them, and I assume what they're objecting to is money, frankly, that they're going to have to pony up a percentage to be a part of ASME. Is that...
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, there is no assessment part written in this, but you're right. A lot of the opposition we heard was around an assessment, and totally understand the nuances of how do you assess an industry. Right now, that is nascent and trying to get on their feet, so to say. We totally recognize that challenge there too, and I think that's something that we're all going to have to discuss in a greater detail if that needs to be brought forth. From an ASME standpoint, you make a good point. ASME does not tell the wild capture industry what to do when it comes to marketing. That is not what ASME's goal is. ASME listens to the industry and then reacts to where the industry needs its help most for marketing initiatives. If ASME were to include mariculture products under our purview, we would do the exact same thing with the mariculture industry. We would listen to them. We would create committees and bring the mariculture industry, create a seat at the table, so to say, and say, what do you need most and where can we put our resources to help you most? there isn't a single thing ASME has ever done where we've told an industry what they need to do. It's the industry has come to ASME because we work for that industry, and the industry tells ASME what they need from us.
Follow up.
So
I'm trying to give you an opportunity, obviously, mm-hmm. to push ASME a little bit and to market ASME to the oyster farmers. So my point being, I guess, is this would not change. So if an oyster farmer has a great brand and they have a great set of chefs throughout the country that like to use their brand because it's grown in certain bays or that sort of thing, and they have a really good brand, you're not going to interfere with that. You would just put your stamp on it, say ASME or Alaska Grown or Alaska. You know, it's sort of like a stamp of approval, really, and it lets the chef know that, you know, that you guys approve it, that it is actually Alaska farmed, that it's not imported from somewhere else and just given a stamp of.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative, I appreciate the opportunity to elaborate a little bit more on ASME. So you're 100% right. ASME has been around for over 40 years, and we've developed the most recognizable seafood brand in the world. Alaska is the most recognizable brand. To speak to you, the anti-farm sentiment, ASME actually doesn't attack farm seafood. ASME doesn't go negative. That's one of our core criteria is we only speak to the positivities of our brand. We don't speak to the negativities of any other brand. So if we were to bring in other products, it would be finding opportunities to speak to those values to their customers and speaking to, you know, whether it's a farm product or seaweed product or however it's captured or created or harvested. That's our job, is to elevate those values of the product that come up to the customers. But if you get to carry that Alaska seafood stamp, I'm wearing the lapel pin right here, that is the most recognizable seafood brand in the world.
One more, if you'll indulge me.
One more. I will indulge you, Representative McCabe.
So the vision would be like Joe's Oysters from Southeast Alaska somewhere, who has a great brand and great oysters, and they market to all these shelves, could have a campaign that says, now ASME approved, or would it be supported, or, you know, you could actually have a marketing campaign that would let this chef know that now these oysters are sort of under the ASME umbrella. What does that really mean to a chef?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative. So ASME interacts with lots of different seafood markets and buyers across the world. And if we just speak nationally, as an example, there's many different ways. But as an example, we were just at the Boston Seafood Show a week ago. And we have lots of buyers for all sorts of seafood products come to ASME asking for where can I find this or where can I find that. The list goes on, right? ASME collects those buyers' names, and we share those. We call them trade leads. We share those with every single Alaska seafood company and says, here is a customer who's looking for your products. If you want to go sell your products, please do. We're helping build those markets and build those relationships. So that's one way that we would help Joe's, we'll just call it Joe's Oyster Shack for the purposes here. But that's how we would help Joe's Oyster Shack if he or she, you know, we'll play it like that. And if they had opportunity and had more oysters to be able to export outside of Alaska, right? That's one way. Another way that ASME helps the industry is we have a lot of technical resources, a lot of resources that speak to the specifics of the products, so that when buyers are looking for, whether it's, you know, health-related information, to be able to tell that story to their customers, if they want to make sure that there aren't any contaminants in their products, ASME has the product portfolio to show that, yes, not only are our products healthy, but they also are contaminant-free. We actually just completed a study with DCCED to show that our seafood in Alaska is contaminant-free. But that only pertained to our wild capture seafood because that was ASME's purview at the time. So those are just some things that we do to help out the industry.
Thank you. Mr. Woodrow, I have a question. So in light of the testimony that we've had, and it appears that most of the shellfish growers are not remotely interested in coming under the ASME umbrella, what would your thoughts be on separating the shellfish growers from the mariculture, the seaweed growers, and just starting there and moving forward with the ASME brand?
To the chair, you know, ASME is supportive of helping any maritime industry. That's our goal as an agency. If it was the will of the legislature to change the bill or to amend it some way to include just one or the other, I could understand that. that's, we look at the industry as a whole and see this is a maritime industry, and this is an opportunity to continue to help out our coastal communities and help out Alaska through an industry that provides a lot of economic promise.
Well, it might be a good way to get your foot in the door, so to speak, is take somebody willingly instead of taking somebody that's screaming and yelling, mm-hmm. not me, not me.
Yeah, to the chair, we're certainly not trying to force their hand here with this.
Right.
And while I have you, or you have me, I would like to say I did a little research for Representative Hemshoot there. And you got that too? Okay. Yes, a cephalopod is a mollusk, and mollusk is included under shellfish under the statute. So.
Okay. Thank you, through the chair. I was glad to see that, that it has been addressed.
Do we have other questions for Mr. Woodrow or on this bill? Representative Hemshoot.
Thank you, Chair Stutz. I was wondering if we could bring up Dan Lesh or Robert Venables again from Southeast Conference.
Mr. Venables, could you approach the desk again, please?
Thank you, Chair Stutz, through the chair. Mr. Venables, I was just the same idea that Representative Chair Stutz had on separating out seaweed from oysters. Is there an elegant way to do that?
Through the chair, Robert Venables, Southeast Conference. Representative Hemshoot, I think that my leaning would be to try to do an allocation to where the smaller, there's an exemption for a less than size producer and farmer. Those that have small operations that feed their community, maybe have one or two contacts outside, that's not really the intent of what this bill opens up. So I think what I would pursue and encourage ASME to pursue would be to find a way to do an allocation so that when you're less than a certain size, there will not be an assessment. Right now, there's no assessment contemplated. And, I do know there are oyster farmers that are looking forward to ASME opening those much larger doors. And it's something that I think that I would like to advocate to continue to move this bill forward and just instruct ASME with intent to find a way to exclude the small ones that rightfully would feel threatened with an additional cost for a very small, almost nonprofit organization.
Thank you. If I could just make a comment.
Sure.
So Mr. Lessard from the Alliance, I think it is, suggested dividing the two types, because if you do a less than those smaller folks are still going to benefit from ASME without contributing, and yet they don't need the help right now. They're fully, they're unable to produce as much as they need to meet demand. So that's why I was asking about the being able to divide it out. So I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Chair, I would just briefly say that my thought would be that while the rising tide lifts all boats, if those farmers see a benefit and it causes them to get excited and grow beyond what that threshold is, then they will have benefited and then they would grow into that opportunity. So I really think that I think there's a way to move forward and do both.
Thanks. Yeah. And rising tide lifts all boats, as they say.
Right, but from some of the letters that we received, I would think that it would almost have to be an exemption because to me it didn't appear that they were strictly concerned about the monetary issues. There was also the regulations that they currently comply with, and to have the state add more regulations was, I guess it would eventually end up being another monetary requirement on them. So I would think that if to move forward, we either have to make it totally separate and totally exempt them, or along what you've said, Mr. Venables, put in a total exclusion. But I think that that would take some interaction with the larger farmers to see if, in fact, they were even interested at all as well. So anyway, we've got some place to go with this.
And Madam Chair, if I may, it's not my wheelhouse, but I believe there's an exemption already in place for small salmon farmers that get an exemption. So it'd be modeled, my suggestion would be to model it along that way, but that'd be Mr. Woodrow's wheelhouse. So thank you.
Right. Any further discussion on House Bill 129? Anyway, this is 135, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Wrong bill there. Sorry. On 135. If not, I will set House Bill 135 aside, and we will have House Bill 129, and I will take a brief at ease. Back on record. Our next bill up is House Bill 129. This is our third hearing on this bill, and if it is the will of the committee, we will move this bill. We do have one amendment on this bill from Representative Vance and Representative McCabe, which I would consider a friendly amendment. Before we move that amendment, would anyone like a refresher on this legislation? No. Okay. Well, with that, Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer this single one amendment to House Bill 129.
And I will object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment expands the fisheries product development tax credit to support the harvest and processing of microalgae such as kelp. As Alaska's mariculture industry continues to grow, this amendment encourages fisheries businesses to invest in processing equipment and infrastructure specific to microalgae. It ensures that this emerging sector can access the same economic development tools available to traditional fisheries, and I urge support for Amendment N.2, which is Amendment 1.
Do we have any comments? If none, I will withdraw my objection. Are there other objections? Seeing none. So Amendment number 1 to 34-LS0647-N is adopted. With that, do we have further comments on this bill? Seeing none, if it is the will of the committee, I would like to move this bill from committee.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Edgman.
With that in mind, I move to report House Bill 129, version 34-LS0647. Let me repeat that again, 37-LS0647-N, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Hearing no objection with that, version 34 is what I have. Yeah, version 34-LS0647-N moves out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. And if you would all stay to sign the documents, and seeing no further business to come before this committee, we will adjourn at 11:03.